Hello, class. This is Greg Calhoun again. Another session, Spirit of Honor, class number 6. And we're going to get back into our book today. So if you have your books, you can follow along. But we're going to be talking today about the 6 levels of honor, you know, and defining the 6 levels of honor. I'm going to start off with a brief word of prayer, and we're going to get right into the lesson. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, showing forth the praises of him who called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. I thank you, Lord, for each and every student. I thank you, Lord, that they're getting the instructions, the impartation, Lord God, that they need to be successful in life and ministry, Lord God. Hallelujah. And Father, as always, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to show up, because Holy Spirit, if you don't show up, I know I'll fall flat on my face. I am leaning completely and totally upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's get into the lesson, class. One of the first things I want to point out in the 6 levels of honor, the first way to overcome the spirit, this is not number 1, but this is the first way to overcome the spirit of dishonor, is to sow a seed of honor. If you know that you've operated in dishonor towards your parents, towards God, towards your apostle, towards elders, and you'll understand what I'm saying as I get into the lesson, or even you've dishonored your own self as a man of God, as a woman of God, the first way or the best way to overcome the spirit of dishonor is by sowing a seed of honor. All right, with that said, we're going to start off with the first level of honoring God and a definition. So the first way, the first level of honoring God, sowing honor is, number 1, is to honor God. Primarily, number 1, we must honor God. That's the first level of showing honor, is honoring God. Proverbs 3:9-10 says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine." So it says to honor the Lord with the first fruits of thy increase. When you sow or plant your tithes, you are actually honoring God, because you are being obedient to the word by sowing first fruits and sowing your tithes into the kingdom of God. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance. Our substance is what you have been blessed with, your monetary income, with thy substance, you know, and with the first fruits of thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. So if you want your bank accounts, your stocks, your bonds, your business, your job to continue to produce, you sow tithes and first fruit, and you can't help but be honored. By honoring God this way, God will honor you. If you are not tithing, you are not honoring God. There is no way your barns, your storehouses can be filled if you're dishonoring God by not tithing, giving God what belongs to him. You got to recognize God has already blessed us with the blessings, or the monetary blessings. So it's imperative that we give God his 10%, if we give God his first fruit. And a first fruit is anytime you get a raise, you get an unexpected bonus, or anything that comes, the first ripe one that comes up. You want to honor the Lord with that. And what that does, it now perpetuates more first fruit, more blessing to come into your life. Amen. Let's move on. We must always honor God with our substance, the first fruits of our labor. God is deserving of all the honor because he is the principal life source. He is life, and all life comes from him. When you don't honor God with your tithes and and offerings, you are cursed with a curse according to Malachi 3 and 9. Matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and read that right quickly. Let me get to it. Malachi. Give me a second here. Okay, Malachi 3 and 9 says, let's start with verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet have we robbed him. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Then it says in verse 10, to bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that they may be meat in mine house, and to prove me now herein, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there not be room enough to receive it. You know. Then he says, because you honored me, he says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and ye shall not, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vines cast their fruit before the time in the field, said the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, said the Lord of hosts. So there are benefits in honoring God with the first fruits of our increase. Amen. That is so very important. And with that said, like I said, I'm coming back from the book. This is something that the author points out, and I want to make sure we cover these areas. He said, it is dangerous for individuals who know better to be involved in inappropriate behavior or relationships, inappropriate conduct or moral failures, especially those that are teaching and preaching the word of God, preaching one way and living another. He goes on to say, there should be no inappropriate sexual affairs among fivefold ministry gifts. There should be no homosexual affairs. There should be no wife swapping, no blatant sex sins, no inappropriate conduct. For those in ministry, anytime you have this level of dishonor, there is a harvest of catastrophe, to be reaped. This is total dishonor to God. So not only is it important to sow seeds of honor, but at the same time, we must live a life that's upright and moral before God. The two go hand in hand. You know, you can nullify your seed by sowing seed and living any kind of old way. God desires for us to live holy and unblameable in his sight. Yeah, you'll make mistakes, you know, but it's so important to get before God, get it cleared up, and move on. Always say, never let the sun go down on your wrath. At the same time, never let the sun go down on unconfessed sin. You know, get it straight before the sun goes down, so that you can now, what it does, it keeps the line of communication, where when you need to hear from God and God, and you're praying for God, that channel is kink. Sin will short circuit God's blessing in our life, and it short circuits the power of God to come down on our life, you know, because there's unconfessed sin. So it's so very important that we get that right. Satan will do whatever he can to discredit you and your ministry. They, the opposite sex, are really after your anointing, not you, you know. Satan will do whatever he can to destroy you in the area of sex and pride. He will use a Jezebel to seduce you, an adulteress to seduce you, you know. Satan will use whatever trickery he can to destroy your years of ministry. He will try to get you involved in sex sins or pride or whatever he can, because the Bible says he has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So we want to honor God first and foremost with the first fruits of our increase, our tithes, our offering. But at the same time, we want to live a life holy and unblameable before him. And I've seen young ministers and people who love God and were serving God and had flourishing ministries allow Satan to come in and hookwink them in this area of sex sin, where some, I never forget a good friend of mine who I met in college. One year we went to visit with him and his family. We were headed to Tennessee area, and we stopped off, and he introduced me to, now he's married, had been married for several years. He introduced me to his spiritual advisor, which was this woman who became a part of his church. Well, this person basically was an attack of Satan coming against him and his ministry and his family and his marriage. You know, a year or two later, I went by to visit with him. I'll never forget. I drove up to his house. I saw his wife sitting on the front porch, and she was talking to someone else. And I looked at her, I said, "Where is your husband?" And she said, she put her head down and said, you know, that we're divorced. And immediately I thought about, and then she began to describe this spiritual advisor that advised him out of his ministry, out of his marriage, out of his family, you know. And just to make a long story short, you know, one of the things I have no trouble doing is to put my track shoes on and run. When I see something going down, that a trick, you know, the Bible says we should not be deceived by, and he has no new tricks under the sun, but, you know, we have to live above board as ministers of God and live a life that's wholesome to God. That's so very important, because he will try to get you involved in things that's going to keep the blessing and to get you out of honor. It's what it does. It gets you out of honor. All right, let me move on. I spent a little bit more time on that area than I should, but I think it's important. I know it's important. The second level of honor is honor the apostle and prophets, the apostolic gifts. First level was to honor God. The second is to honor the apostle and the prophet. Matthew 13:57 says, "And they were offended in him," talking about Jesus. "But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor save in his own country and in his own house." You must honor the apostolic source that God has placed in your region. Here's the principle, and I'm kind of reading some excerpts from the book. Here's the principle according to Bishop Tudor Bismarck. The reason many countries never get the benefit of the gifts that God has given that country is because they do not show honor to the apostolic and prophetic gifts that God has placed them with. Listen up. Every gift is given to a region to match the needs of the region. Apostle Thompson was given to our region to set the body of Christ free of financial bondage. When you receive him as a gift and honor him as a gift by obeying him, that financial prosperity anointing that's on him comes on you. So that's why it's so very important to honor the apostolic that's in your life. Honor the apostles and the prophets that God placed in your region. If people in the region don't receive and honor the gift that God has sent to them, they will not receive the blessing that the man of God was sent to bless them or to put upon them. Going back to that scripture we read about Jesus in Matthew 13:57, how it says that they were offended of him, and that the prophet is not without honor save in his own country, on his own community. They saw him as just being the carpenter's son. They didn't see him as being Jesus, the Son of the living God. They didn't see the anointing upon his life, because they were looking at him from the natural. You never want to look at your man or your woman of God from a natural point of view, because they have been anointed by God. They have been equipped by God to do the work of the ministry, especially the apostolic gift and the prophetic gift. You want to honor those gifts, because those gifts have the blessing that you need. Amen. If you dishonor in your own country or region or in your own house or church the apostolic and the prophetic gift, you are in fact dishonoring God, because he is God's ambassador representing God's kingdom. If a country or government does not honor the spiritual leaders in that country cannot be blessed. The curse causeless shall not come. Proverbs 26 and 2, the B part. The curse caused. There's always a reason why the curse or bad things, calamities happen in a region or a country. And in a lot of aspects is spiritual. Because God has sent a man of God, a prophet or an apostle into a region to be a blessing to the people. But the people didn't receive him and dishonored him. Okay? All right, let me move on. Honor is not just a bunch of having a bunch of life, a bunch of armor bearers, or having somebody wash your car, as the Bishop Tudor Bismarck says. He says honor is reciprocation, and I probably covered this earlier in earlier class. But honor is reciprocation in terms of the way we receive the anointing and the way people act on what has been relieved by the gift that God has sent. Listen up. The greatest form of dishonor is when a man of God preached to the people year after year and they do not act on the word that was preached. I'll read that again. The greatest form of dishonor is when the man of God or the preacher, the apostolic gift, preaches to the people year after year and they do not act on what has been preached. When this happens, then what happens is the people in other houses from other towns or from other parts of the country, they'll come and they'll receive the gift and receive the blessing. But, you know, somebody in who's living in the house or, you know, right there don't receive anything, you know, because going back to that scripture, a prophet is without honor except in his own country or in his own area. That's why we can't allow, and I mean, the blessing is for everybody, but God might have sent a man of God or an apostle or a prophet in your region for a specific purpose. And when you despise that and don't receive it as such, then other people from other cities, other communities, from other countries come in and they receive the blessing and you left out in the cold because you allowed your man of God to become too familiar with you. With that said, let me move on to number three. The third level of honor is honoring fathers, spiritual fathers, in the gospel. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6 says, "A son honored his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear or my reverence? Said the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name, and yea say, wherein have we despised thy name?" You despise my name by not honoring me. You know, if a man of God, and if God has placed someone in a position of a father or a spiritual father, where he has sons and people that he is nurturing up spiritually, those sons need to honor their spiritual father. That's just, it goes without saying. But corporately, it is important that we honor fathers, spiritual fathers. We need to know in a region who has God raised up in that region to be a father and honor him. Who is the fathers in your area? I mean, we're all from different areas of the country or the state or wherever you're from, different countries. There's a father somewhere there. And if there's not, you need to find you one that you can connect to, like Apostle Thompson, and honor him. Honor him, praise God. And by doing so, as I stated in every class, what's on him will come upon you. That's honor. That's the simplest way I could convey it. Malachi 4 and 6, and we've read this before. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And 1 Corinthians 4:15 talks about, though there be 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. So, you know, you might have a lot of people who are teaching the word, who are instructing, but you have not many fathers. So it's very important. It's crucial. Matter of fact, it's vital that you find who your spiritual father is, you know, and acknowledge. I remember the very day I went and I acknowledged Apostle Thompson, and I said, you're my spiritual father, and I'm submit to you. And from that day forward, because I never forget, I was following Apostle, and he was going to various meetings, and I would go to the meetings, and whether it was Kenneth Hagin's meetings or when he was ministering with Dr. Dollar or other people. And as you know, several years ago, the Lord instructed him to get out of the big churches. Well, I wasn't following close enough, and I kept going to these meetings that he was going to, and I look around, and I didn't see him, and just not following close enough started to sidetrack me in other directions that I didn't need to be headed in. But thankful for me that God's grace came, and one of the meetings I went to, one of the ministers there started talking about spiritual fathers, and he said, you know, you need to be where your spiritual father is. You need to follow him close and stay with him. And what he shared that evening, I'll never forget, was life-changing for me. I went back home, came back to Baton Rouge, scheduled a meeting with my apostle, and told him, you know, I want to acknowledge you as my spiritual father, and I'm going to follow you, you know, from here forward. And that's been 20-plus years ago, I'm guessing. But here again, you have to come to the point where, God, who is my spiritual father? Who do I need to be following? You don't need to be following everybody. You know, I always believe that God leads you to a particular brook where you can be near it. Just like he brought Elijah to a brook and the raven sustained him and the water sustained him from the brook, God will bring you to your man of God where there's going to be, you'll be able to flourish physically, financially, emotionally, in every aspect of your life. Amen. All right, let me move on. All right. As we know, Noah had two sons, Shem and Japheth. They honored Noah by backing up and covering his nakedness. While Cain, he had three sons, while Cain exposed his nakedness. All right. When you have a father that's uncovered himself and has fallen into sin, and the son speaks badly about the uncovering of their father, they open the door to the curse their father has initiated to come upon them. The dishonor, the curse, and the sin will come upon the son. Because as you remember, Cain was cursed. I don't have time to go into it. But Shem, S-H-E-M, and Japheth, God enlarged their coasts or enlarged their tents and blessed them. Why? Because they honored their father by backing up and not exposing their father's nakedness. Even though this was in a physical aspect, but spiritually, as a spiritual aspect, our job is to cover our fathers and to make sure that his anointing is protected. You know, there have been times I've been asked several times to do funerals, to represent apostle in various aspects of ministry where he, you know, mainly funerals that he just don't go to. And when I go there, I'm honoring him. Matter of fact, I was at one this past Sunday, and I acknowledged him as the church's word of life and my apostle, and I'm here on his behalf, you know. 'Cause a lot of times when your man of God goes into a different environment, not knowing what the climate is and how people may or may not receive him, he has to minister sometimes through a lot of follow ground to break it up to get the word. And sometimes he's not, sometimes he may not even be well received, you know, but there's certain duties and responsibilities that needs to be done. And a lot of times he'll send some of the other ministers from the church to take care of those needs. So we'll take the hit and he don't have to take the hit. And it's not so much of a hit, but it's just, by doing so, you honor your man of God. And actually it's a, in a sense, a form of a covering where you're covering him, you know, and you're protecting that anointing that's on his life. Amen. Let me move on. And the time is moving. All right. The fourth level of showing honor is honoring parents, your natural parents. Exodus 20 and 12 says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be prolonged upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Ephesians 6 and 2 says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Deuteronomy 5 and 16 says, honor thy father and mother, as the Lord had commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may be well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We must honor our physical fathers and mothers, especially if they're still alive. We must honor them highly. We must show them great respect. Even though we may not always agree with everything they say, their philosophies, or their ideologies. It's sad when the child who has been raised without a father, who has generations of individuals who literally have hatred for their fathers because their fathers were absent or they never knew who their father was. Even so, they must realize them and recognize them and show honor, you know, in any way that they can. Let me kind of go back and your natural father, he was the one that helped give birth to you. And I say father and mother, you know. So they brought you into this world. They might have not always done the right things and been on point every time. But because they are life sources, all life sources need to be honored, you know, and covered as much as we can to cover them and protect them, because they brought us into the world. Now we're born again, we're spirit-filled. It's important that we honor our fathers and our mothers so that it may be well with us. So their life experiences and the victories that they went through, we can go through because of our honoring them. You know, Bible says God will satisfy us with long life when we honor our parents, you know, that our days may be prolonged. And that's so very important. Sons and daughters need to show honor to their fathers and mothers, even if their dad was a scoundrel or a Jody. Remember the song, Ain't No Sense in Going Home Because Jody's Got Your Girl and Gone? You know, they need to be sow seeds of honor so that they can break the debt cycle or the generational cycle that the parent might have initiated. You know, the worst thing you can do is to allow your father and mother go to the grave and any issues or any wrongdoings or any, you know, bad blood between the two of you never got settled. You wanna honor them, especially in their older years. Give you an illustration, and I'm going to move on because my time is well spent. My mom is up in age. She's 88, and my brothers and I, we vowed to take care of her and to make sure that she doesn't have to go to a nursing home. You know, I make sure all her bills are paid, got everything on an electronic bill paying system so she doesn't have to even think about paying a bill, electric bill, light bill, water bill, or whatever. Every couple of weeks I go, I get her groceries, whatever she needs, and you know, make sure that, you know, even doctor's appointment, we have people that bring her to the doctor and make sure she takes her medicine, and you know, just I can go on and on, but it's honoring her, because at her age now, certain things she'll let slip, but we make sure that they don't slip through the cracks, because we honor her and we respect her for bringing us into the world. And I know that there's a blessing behind that, you know, because scripture tells me that it is. And one of the most rewarding things that I get from going by and visiting her and bringing her groceries, checking the house out or whatever, is when I leave, she look at me and says, "Baby, I just want to let you know, Mommy love you. Mommy really love you. I appreciate what you're doing for me." You know, that brings joy to me because of the fact that, you know, she's comforted. She has everything she needs, you know. And, yeah, I know there's a blessing behind it. But sometimes just her saying it is a blessing enough to me. Where God has put me in a position to be able to do it. That's the blessing. Amen. Let me move on. Praise God. The fifth level of showing honor is honoring seniors. Honoring our seniors, our elders, not just the parents, elders as people who are older, our seniors in life. In Leviticus 19 and 32, it says, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary-headed or the white-headed man and honor the face of the old man and fear the Lord, for I am the Lord." The Message Bible of that same verse in Leviticus 19 and 32 says, "Show respect to the aged, honor the presence of the elderly, fear the Lord, I am God." We must honor our seniors, the older people in our generation. We must stand up when a person who has white hair enters the room, you know, respecting them, respecting their years of life. This is showing honor, respect, honoring their years of life. We must honor the face of the old man and fear the Lord so that someone, whenever someone comes in a room with white hair, you know, or a senior, we show them honor when we stand up and give them and acknowledge their presence. You know, in principle, we are honoring their life experience. Listen up. If they have gone through all these years and all the battles and struggles that life presented to that individual, when they walk in the room and you stand up and you acknowledge them and you honor them and you honor their survival skills, their ability to impart knowledge to you is given. When you stand up and you honor seniors in this regard, you are literally saying, "God, we honor you for bringing this person through all of these challenges and experiences." Showing honor, or this kind of honor, for the battles that they fought and the successes how they succeeded and allowed God's, what happens is now the grace that's on them, that God had graced them with, comes on you. You know, the grace of the life survival skills that are on them now gets imparted to you because of you honoring them, you know. But when you dishonor them, there's tremendous disrespect. The author says, anytime you dishonor senior citizens who are expresses tremendous disrespect for the struggles and the battles that they have gone through and the grace that they had to go through these experiences with cannot come upon you. What was a success for them becomes a curse for you because of your sowing seeds of dishonor. Amen? There was a situation where Elijah in 2 Kings 2 and 23 where some young kids were teasing him. And the Bible says, for they're teasing him, you know, go, you old gray-headed man or whatever, a she-bear came and devoured him, a bear came and devoured him because of their soul disrespect. It brings a curse upon you. All right, the sixth level of honor is honoring the gift and the anointing that's in you. Honoring the gift and the honor that's in you. All right. Psalms 8, 4, and 6 says, "What is man that thou art so mindful in him, and the son of man that thou didst visit him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet. So what it's saying is, what is man that thou art so mindful of him, and the son of man that thou didst visited him? Then it says, God has made you a little lower than the angels. When you translate that in the Greek or Hebrew, that states God has made us just a shade lower than himself. Okay? So it's knowing that you coming into the earth as a child, as a young man or young woman, we need to recognize that you know, the honor God has placed upon us, putting us in the position that, you know, he's made us kings and priests, that he's made us a shade lower than him, that we are God's under rulers here on the earth, and the grave responsibility God has given us to carry out his word and his assignment. That's so very important. And I stated here, in that phrase, made a little lower than the angels, the translation literally means made him a little lower than Elohim, which is God, a shade lower than God. In other words, you put the God factor in man. So you have God and then man right beneath God, because he made us in his very image and in his very likeness. Then God crowned us with glory and honor. If you don't respect and honor the place that God has placed you in, then you are dishonoring or disregarding the gift of life that God has given you. Psalms 41, 11, 12, and also 20 says, their inward thoughts is that their house shall continue forever, and their dwelling place to all generations. They call their land after their own names. Nevertheless, man being honored abided not. He is like the beast that perishes. Man that is honored and understandeth not is like the beast that perishes. Listen up. A person who has been anointed and honored and doesn't understand he has been crowned with honor, that man functions with beastly instincts. Let me continue. That's the reason why you have gangs, drug problems, sexual misconduct, prostitution, pornography. It's because people around the world don't understand the gift of honor that they have been crowned with. Think about that. You know, God calls us kings and priests, but we don't take the position and learn to grow into that priest. And I know a lot of people didn't have an opportunity, but if you really want to find God, he's approachable, you know. But when you turn and you dishonor your parents and you dishonor yourself, the Bible says that you function with beastly instincts, you know. When human beings don't understand the honor that they have been crowned with, they become like the beast in the jungle, you know. Just, you know, their appetites are fleshly, sensual, devilish. Going back to Jude 19, I think it is, 19 and 20, you know, they're appetite driven, fleshly driven, not led by the Spirit. They become scavengers, predators, carnivorous, flesh driven when you don't honor. And that's why it's so important. I got 54 seconds to honor the anointing in your life. You know, when you serve your man of God, when you honor your pastor, honor your parents, honor the elderly, honor God, you know, those six principles, those six levels of honor God, honor the apostolic, you know, honor spiritual fathers, honor your natural parents, honor the elderly, and honor yourself, you can't help but walk in honor. I mean, honor is in every area and every level of life. Honor your boss, you know. Thank God for him, you know, because it's just a spiritual principle, you know, to give honor to whom honor is due. That's so very important. Amen. Well, I'm going to conclude. I got 6 seconds left. We'll see you next time. Be blessed.